Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Awaken with Maria and Monica, a show with no politics involved, with my excellent co-host, Monica Sepulveda. You can check out her work at monica.com. And just so my listening audience knows, I have now been blocked on Facebook for the third time in 2 weeks. So you won't be seeing any posts. I can't reply to any of your messages. So if you want to contact me, use good old-fashioned email. Good morning, Monica. How are you?
And then there's that, right?
Well, you know, Facebook has actually, and it's probably been this all along, the Ministry of Truth predicted in 1984. And I complained to them this morning and I said, what about our First Amendment rights? You know, what are your bots doing? You know, I started posting pro-Palestinian stuff over the slaughter of Palestine yesterday. And immediately I got banned for another 3 days on a post I put up maybe a year ago. So they'll use any excuse to suppress truth. And people need to know that.
Yeah, but that's because, it was bought by the DOJ, the intelligence, companies here at FBICA. They all took it over, and that's why they're doing this. So, Mark Zuckerberg might be the figurehead now. He became a billionaire because of them. And so, I personally do not have a Facebook page for that reason, because I was educated a long time ago by Annie Michon, who used to be with MI5, and she said, don't open a Facebook account ever. So I didn't, and I learned that when she was on David Icke's show.
Well, what's interesting, what's interesting is Facebook actually admitted that they spy and collect data on people, whether they're on Facebook or not.
Interesting.
So, when I talked about the NSA collecting illegally all this data on American citizens on my show, people didn't want to pay attention. But yet here it is, as we move into fascism. And, one person had said, can I ask a question about what do you see for the world next year? And I said, no, we don't talk about politics on the show. I said, this is a relief show. This is a spiritual show where we talk about things that matter.
Yeah.
So, it's hard not to get, upset or involved in politics, but to let it come into your life and affect your sanity, then there's something wrong. And listen, spirituality is the ticket.
And that's why we have our show.
Exactly.
Because we give the solutions as to what people can do, the listeners, in order not to be affected by the external.
Exactly. Well, I did let people know that we were going to talk about past lives. And we did get some listeners that are curious and, have a bunch of questions for us. But, I'd like to talk about, when I read for people, people have to understand they've probably had hundreds, maybe thousands of past lives, and not all of them on this planet. It's usually the ones that are affecting this life that will show up in a reading. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is the reason why, oh my God, I just rubbed my eye and I got some bile freeze in it, so my eye's burning.
Oh no.
Good job, Monica. Anyway, so I've got one eye closed. So what happens is that a lot of people can't understand why they have particular fears and phobias, and they can't handle a culture, they don't like a culture, and then it explains usually a manifestation from a past incarnation that's bleeding over into this one, and they have to clear that stuff up, and we have ways of doing that, so I can show you throughout the show what you need to do. Number one, to access those past lives and how to heal them, because that'll free you from a lot of the stuff from the past, which allows you to live in the now and allows you to be able to create what you really want. And there's such interesting stories I've been able to tell my clients about. I'll just say something like, you can't stand like turtlenecks around your neck or anything like that. And we go back and look, and sure enough, they were hung by the neck, you know, so they don't want anything to touch their neck.
Me too. I'm one of those. I can't wear anything close on my neck.
Yeah, there you
go. And more interesting, you know, we can talk, and we have talked some in the past about recognizing signs, and one of the best indicators of how you died in a past life is a birthmark. And it just so happens that I have a huge birthmark on the back of my neck, which they call a nevus, okay? They call it a nevus, which is pretty interesting because my kids have them too.
Oh, my gosh.
So
now we just have to go back and find out when that happened, you know? And you can have that information released. Like, I have Orion, birthmarks of Orion on my arm, and I thought, I know that I've lived there before.
Right, it's almost like a little map, like a little map of spattering, and I have that too. So I'm not surprised talking to you. Listen, I know, you know, I have investigated a lot of my past lives. And I was pretty much murdered in every one of them because I've always been the same way when I'm on this planet. I'm always speaking out for the underdog. So it's always cost me my life.
I'd like to recommend a book called Messages from Michael because it does explain how we come back with the same theme and overleaves, and it explains your soul age, which, you know, every category has seven different descriptions. Like, for instance, if you want to know your soul age, it starts off with the baby soul, the mature, the infant soul, the baby soul, the mature soul, I forgot the other ones. There's an older soul, transcendent or transcendental soul. Mm-hmm. But you can actually read the descriptions, and it tells you where you are. And then it gives you the theme. Some people are sages, some are artisans, some are slaves, some are priests, some are kings, some are sages. There's different categories, and as you read each one, you can identify yourself. So each chapter is super, super fun to read because you can totally figure out what you're all about. When it goes into overleaves, you can find out your negatives, and you can find out your positives. But then at the end, it also covers, you know, why we keep reincarnating with the same core group of people, and the core groups are either 3, 6, 9, or 12. And this is why you meet people in different parts of the world who end up becoming part of your core group.
Absolutely.
And you're actually closer to that core group than you are your own family, which is what one of my favorite sayings is, you know, blood is thicker than water, but love is thicker than blood. So we find that that's happening more and more. So I would love for people to read Messages from Michael by Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough, Y-A-R-B-R-O. Don't be turned off by the cover. She hated the cover. I spoke to her, and they put a Ouija board in front of it, and she said she had no creative say in that whatsoever. But that one is a great place to start if you want to find out more about yourself, and then you can see what you have to overcome in this lifetime. So if you come in being, let's say, really, really stubborn, then it'll show you how to overcome that, because the flip side of stubbornness is determination. But if you're stubborn, it could be, you know, tracing back to a past incarnation where, you know, you had to be stubborn in order to be able to get things done, and perhaps that stubbornness caused you your life.
All right. Well, I guess I always want to be the Joan of Arc, so whatever.
Oh, my gosh,
but,
no.
But you know what's interesting is when I had Joe Anthony, who hosts my astrology show every month, when I had him do an in-depth chart for me, he said that in every lifetime, I've always had two things in common. I was always an artist and an activist.
That makes sense because, you would be in, you'll find yourself under that category of theme, you know, because we don't change themes from lifetime to lifetime. I'll always be a sage artisan.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised over that.
Yeah. I mean, I sing as well. I'm creative. I can draw and play the piano, but I'm also a sage. I like to teach people.
Me too.
So the combination of those. And you'll find that as you start to ascend, become into a higher level, like I'm a seventh level old soul sage artisan. And as you get, you can actually grow within one lifetime. You have to stay the same thing. I came into this world with fifth level old soul sage. But then as I grew, I incorporated the two. You can do that. But that's a fascinating book. You won't be able to put it down because it's like, it's all about you.
I'll have to make sure to get a copy because that's one that I have not read.
Okay, you know what? Go to Amazon and buy a used copy.
That's what I will do because I haven't bought a book in 20 years. Everybody sends me their books. There used to be a time I go to the post office. I need a shopping cart to walk out of there. Just because people want to send me their books to get on the show. I still have a stack looking at me that I haven't even had time to open, including one I wrote the foreword to. I've been trying to get to it, but it's like I'm just too busy, but I will get to it.
And when I finish my book, of course, I'll send you a copy.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? Monica, I wanted to ask you this. Yes. Most of the time when I read for people, they want to know about their health. And sometimes they'll have a specific health issue. And I determine immediately whether or not that health issue is karmic or not.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, I will say 90% of the time, it's not. But every so often, it is. Case in point, yesterday I read for this young woman, and she asked about her parents. And the father is sickly, but I could see that he would heal, that there was no karmic reason for him to have the disease he had. If he took the advice I gave her, he could actually heal. But when she asked about her mother, it was very clear to me that her mother wasn't going to get better, that her mother chose what she had to make up for what she did in a past.
Oh, that's karma, yeah. Definitely.
And, you know, to me, it's a very high soul that does something like that. It's as if they want to clear it off their energy field or their etheric body forever. So they choose to do that. And I know that's a hard concept for most people to get.
But you know what? There's something called divine grace. If a person's evolved enough, they don't have to keep paying their karma over and over and over again. They can actually, well, using religious terms, which I'm not religious, but like atone, you know, you pay off your karma, you do something in order to wipe off that particular physical ailment because you've changed the way you think, you've changed the way you talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 11 years old, a spirit appeared to me and I had eye surgery and affliction and my vision was horrible, but she said to me, I want you to say these words every single day for a year, then take off your glasses and throw them away and go see a doctor. So she said to say, and of course, being, 11 years old, back then my concept was, of course, Catholicism. So she said, I see through the eyes of God, for God is within me and we are one. God's vision is perfect and my vision is perfect. And for this, I give thanks today. So all of a sudden I said that, she disappeared. But to this day, it's written in two books, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I say that every day, and I said it for every day for a year, and I threw away my glasses, got in big trouble, and went to the doctor. He goes, I can't believe this, but your vision's 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
So just about 5 years ago, I started noticing a little bit blurry, as you get older.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard to read close up, and I went to go see an optometrist, and he took my vision, a test, and he goes, I don't know why you came to see me, your vision's 20/30.
Huh.
And so I just said, well, because I've been saying that affirmation again, so you can break free from certain things, even past incarnations and karma, because when I went to Auschwitz, to basically find balance from after my past life there, because I didn't do such good things, and I felt like really guilty. I kept saying to myself, please forgive me, please forgive me, and they said, forgive yourself.
Mm.
So I did, and I walked away feeling completely broken away from that past life incarnation because I realized in this lifetime I was doing everything but service. No personal life, never fell in love, never had children, never got married. It's all been about other people. And they said, now you can have a balanced life. Everything you'll want will come to you because you've released that past life. But I actually went all the way to Poland, to Auschwitz, to let that go. Now, people don't have to do that, because you can access your past lives and actually clear it up through some steps. Is it okay with you if I go through one of the steps?
Sure, but I did, before we get into how to do that, you just reminded me of a very important thing that I'd like to share.
Yeah.
Many years ago, God, it has to be 15 years ago, when I, believe it or not, was actually doing ghost busting. I had gotten a call from a young woman in the valley. She was, I don't know if it was Tempe or Mesa or wherever. She had gone through the gamut to try to figure out what was wrong with her health. And she was a mother of a little 5-year-old boy. She had a lot of weird things happening in her house. She had exhausted all the medical things. And even through Mayo Clinic, they couldn't help her. She legitimately had an oxygen hose through her whole house, so she could walk around her house and breathe. And when she had seen an article in the local paper about my work as a Ghostbuster, which I won't do now, she finally called me, and I was the last resort. So I walked into that house, and let me tell you, the energy was so heavy and so bad, I can't even tell you, Monica. When I try to smudge one room, it literally, the room blew the smoke back at me. Okay. So I was like, holy shit. Right. So I went upstairs. She had a beautiful home. It was a new home. It was two stories. She had this huge deck on the back of her main bedroom, her master bedroom, overlooking this little mountain, beautiful backyard. And I told her to leave me there alone and to just leave. And I looked out and I asked, I said to Spirit, show me. And that's what I do. I just say, show me what happened here. And then the movie began. And what I saw was a murder of Native Americans celebrating a butterfly dance, which is when their young girls come of age, inside a kiva in her backyard. And while the whole tribe was celebrating, as they did, in came the bluecoats with bayonets and slaughtered everybody. Okay.
Wow.
I was like crying, standing there watching this. So here I am trying to beseech these spirits that are showing me this. And I said, listen, they told me she was one of the bluecoats and she had to pay for what she did. And I had asked them, she's a really nice person now. She's a mother. She's trying her best to be a spiritual person. Is there anything she can do? They gave me specific instructions on what they wanted her to do, including a chant that she had to say, like, I don't know how many times a day, besides clearing the place and making offerings. I mean, it was intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down with her after that, and I told her what I got, and she just started crying. And she says, I'm so sorry, listen, if we're all reincarnated, we weren't Mother Teresa's in past lives, okay?
Oh, we were assholes.
Well, what ended up happening, she put into practice what I told her to do, and they told me that I was specifically not to help her do any of the things they were requiring. She had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 weeks, she was healthy. The newspaper came back and interviewed us again because no one could believe that this woman had recovered. So she had done what you said. You know, there are ways of releasing that karma unless you've chose that disease because you want to experience it so you can help others from the other side who go through the same thing.
Oh, yeah. If anyone listening, if you have, like, let's say arthritis in your joints and or, like, you know, even your wrist or something, it could have been that your hand was chopped off in a past incarnation. That stuff imprints itself. It's got cellular memory, so you do feel in the next incarnation. So what you want to do is always ask, where is the genesis of this? Where did it begin? And right before you go to bed, you can ask that, and you can actually have the dreams about what happened.
Right.
That's one of the fastest ways to get information about yourself is ask for it. Why am I having constant pain here? Where is the genesis? Please reveal the past life if that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it started from my own original thinking in this lifetime because my thinking sucks and it's been negative, the body's the last one to be affected by whatever we're thinking, feeling, and believing. So we have to make adjustments there. But if we make adjustments there and it's still, you know, a symptom, then we have to check a past life.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, because what I find, and I would say, I'm not going to exaggerate, I would say 70% of the time, just letting my client know where it's coming from releases it.
Yeah, that's like Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body.
Oh, that's true.
She's got a great book.
Oh, I love that book. I worked with Louise in Tuscany many years ago.
Yeah, she's passed, hasn't she?
I think so.
Yeah, I think she has too. I saw her once a long time ago in the 80s, but I think she's passed.
I don't remember. All I know is she was very threatened by me. And
we were presenting at the same place. We know about her personal life and about her habits. But, you know, sometimes they say, listen to the message, not the messenger.
Absolutely. That's what Sunbury used to say all the time when they used to tell him that, you know, he was a womanizer. He was single. Why not? His energy, well, his thing was, I'm just sharing energy, and I like to share energy with as many women as possible.
Yeah, I've been really let down a lot when I believed in someone, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this person.
Right. Well, hey, I always preempt my words with, I'm no angel, I don't come from the angelic realm, don't expect anything like that from me. I know what I am, and I know what I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we got some questions from some listeners. Actually, I got one here from Nancy. Her birthday is September 21st, 1955. Okay. And she said, I'm curious about my last life because I feel like I need to know something.
Okay. So let's see. Well, first of all, she's very diversified. You know, she's got a lot of abilities and talents, and she's very creative as well. Good communicator. When it comes to her past life, I'm tapping into the one that is going to be the most prevalent or the most... Because some of our past lives are just freaking boring.
I know.
Nothing happens.
I know.
But then all of a sudden we have this doozy that just all of a sudden hits, and then we find out where it comes from. So with her, it feels to me this. I feel that she was a woman in a past incarnation as a nun, because I see a convent.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that she was so disillusioned by it. It was a real letdown for her that she didn't like the feeling of like always giving. And yet she was very creative and she loved to sing and she loved, you know, to make people feel good. But in this lifetime, it feels to me that, you know, even though she's multi-talented, sometimes she won't feel completely fulfilled because, you know, she is still sometimes giving too much and not letting herself receive as much. Because what do you do as a nun? You're always giving, 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 giving. You give up
right.
everything that belongs to you.
Right.
In this lifetime, I just feel that she has to open the channels to receive more, let people do things for her, because she's got a very kind heart.
Yeah.
And when you are constantly giving, but you don't receive, that doesn't complete the circle of giving and receiving. So I would say in this lifetime, what she has to learn is basically to let people give back to her. I think that the nurturing and relationships for her has been the main lesson, but it's really not the relationship with others that she has, the relationship with herself that she needs to let herself receive. And once she does that, things will open up for her.
Right. Well, it's interesting because while you did that, I was also taking a little look. And I see that one of the big issues she's had in this life is betrayal. People betraying her, people she loved betraying her. And that comes from a past life where she did the same to her partner. And sometimes, like I said, just knowing that is enough to clear that off because emotionally...
And those are two incarnations we got for her then.
Exactly. Well,
and so that makes sense to me, Maria, because if she was she did the betraying in a past incarnation, she would have wanted to make amends for that by joining the convent and do good things for the planet. But then she was disillusioned by that, too.
Exactly.
You know, that it didn't. So in this lifetime, she has an opportunity to have it all. And when you're betrayed like that, a lot of times you don't let yourself receive because you're afraid of opening the heart and letting people give to you, because what if they betray you again? So she's got some clearing up to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a process for that.
I'm sure you do. So get over to Monica's YouTube channel. Monica, is it just called Monica? What's your YouTube channel called?
My YouTube channel?
Yeah.
You just type in Monica Sepulveda, but you can also go to my website, monica.com, monica.com. You know, people used to enter Monica like monica.com, you know, and it was like, owned by a porn star. And I used to just say, no, I'm the one that gives good minds, you know, because back in Monica Lewinsky days.
Right. Well, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Her name is Emily. She's born June 28th, 1966. And here's what she has to say. She says, I've had the most tumultuous few years, and it's left me a completely different person. Stronger but reeling. She says, I'm very creative. I've always followed my intuition and earned my living this way. She says, but I'm shattered by recent events and wondered if you have any advice on how I can survive financially.
Absolutely, because self-esteem and finances are linked together. So if she's had some blows recently, it would have shattered her own self-esteem. So that's why she's having those other things happen to her. The feeling I'm getting is that, you know, this girl's a leader. She's very strong with the intellect, but she's decided to start researching, you know, spiritual things, which is why the last person, Nancy, I think her name was,
right.
She decided to go become very spiritual and not religious because of her last incarnation experience. But this one, what I see for her is that the feeling I'm getting is that I believe that she went through a tornado for a reason. It feels to me that it was almost like it lifted up a lot of old crap from within her being,
mm-hmm.
because, and I'm talking about cellular level stuff, that it cleared out a lot of things because it did bring something positive with it. Now, going back to see if it links to past lives, I'm getting, hang on a second. Let's see. What, can you give me your first name again?
Emily. Emily.
Emily, thank you. All right, let's see. I'm getting no, it's not connected to a past life at all. It's this incarnation. She's actually growing from one level to the next in one lifetime. And my feeling is she needed to clear out old stuff that was in her being in order to be able to grow to the next level. Now, she, too, has indications of, okay, this is why it happened. It happened because she was stuck. And what this did is like an earthquake or tornado. It got her unstuck because it gave her new ideas, new concepts, new ways of living, and new ways of even, you know, being with herself. I have a feeling that it was a clearing process, and it got her unstuck, and that's why it happened. And I think she's going to agree with that.
All right. Well, you know, I'm taking a look, too, and I don't think her clearing is complete. I hate to say it. But when her question is, of course, how to survive financially. And, you know, Emily, just hang in there. You only have maybe 3 more months of this crap where everything will start falling into place for you.
Definitely.
But what
I... I would like to change one of her words, though, Maria. I'd like for her to stop using the word surviving, because that keeps you in survival mode.
Right.
I want her to start telling herself that I have abundance beyond my own expectations, and I'm grateful each day for more and more, and I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's where she's stuck. Like you said, she's not done yet. She's got to clear out more. That's one of the things she needs to clear out, is to stop thinking in terms of survival.
Right.
To start thinking in terms of abundance, because when you're one with spirit, spirit is unlimited. So if you're one with spirit, you're unlimited too. So why would you name your, you know, even define yourself as being a survivalist or someone who's just hanging in there?
Right.
That's where she needs to get unstuck. So that validates exactly what you just said.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, many times I correct even my friends, let alone my clients, in their language and what they're asking and how they say it. Because words have a lot of power. But looking at Emily, I think that, you know, even though she says she's very creative, her creativity is going to really boom in about 5 months. And what she needs to do is just pull the trigger on whatever new thing is coming along, whether it's with her art, whether it's with her intuition. And she tends to worry too much about what people say or think about her. You need to let that go.
And again, when you align, your financial picture is completely connected to your self-esteem. So don't let anyone define you.
Absolutely. Ever. But, you know.
You got to define yourself. You know, it's real important, too. When you think about, again, going back, because I'm a minister, and going back to the old days of Christianity and when I studied Catholicism and stuff and studied the Bible, you know, God defines itself, non-gender, as the I am. And what I was taught is whatever words we use after the word I am is how we're defining ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to break through and connect clearly to the I am, just say the words I am that I am, I am that I am, which means pure love. And in other, you know, chants, you can just say Om or Ana Yoda Vave, because Ana Yoda Vave is a Hebrew way of saying I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to watch the words that we use after the word I am, because
right.
If we define ourselves as people that have certain struggle mentality, or that we're having this, or that, you know, then we're playing the victim role instead of taking control and creating something better for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Because it's up to us our experience reflects back to us what needs to change on the inside. So it doesn't happen to us, it happens for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like, Emily, is it Emily?
Emily.
I'm forgetting your name.
Emily
or Emma?
Emily.
Emily. I'd like for Emily to really look at her words and her thoughts and start defining herself with the truth rather than with all the bullshit lies.
Right. Well, you know, I know that Emily is a pretty new subscriber to my show, so I wanted to add this. I do also another spiritual show every other month with Michael Rakia of josephspeaks.com. And I love his work. There's tons of his shows in the archives. Just put his name in there, or just put in the bigger picture, and it'll list up. But he also says in to use God is, with, you know, as the I am, God is. So what I did, and I told Michael, I said I use the I am and God is together in a rolling sentence that doesn't end. I am, God is, I am. I am God is I am. So, and truthfully, I start every day sitting outside saying the I am. You need to do that to remember who you are in this world of, you know, fear and insanity. You have to lock down your spirituality starting first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Even before I get out of bed, you got to do it.
Absolutely.
The thing about this is that because we lie to ourselves constantly, and it's no wonder we're attracting stuff that is not what we want. It's like Einstein said, do the same thing over and over, and that's the definition of insanity. So you got to do something different. So when we define ourselves with different words and different belief systems and different thoughts, our world changes because it reflects back to us who we are.
Right.
It's who we are that we get to see and experience. So for people that are acting like victims, hey, you created it.
Mm-hmm.
So take responsibility, because the world is so loving that it reflects back to us like a giant mirror of where we need to make those shifts internally. And so if you take that information, just say, wow, this is a great gift from the planet that is showing me exactly where I need to change on the inside. And most people go around saying, look what happened to me.
Right. Well, they
nothing
make their own.
To you. It happened for you.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I mean, no, you're pretty smart with astrology. Do you remember Linda Goodman and her astrology books?
Linda Goodman. She wrote the best books on astrology.
Right. But you, one thing that I learned from her all those years ago, God, it's got to be 30 years ago, was the way she used words in her book. When she said remember, she hyphenated the re and member. So,
oh, yeah, interesting.
There was so much in it. And I never lost that. You know, I keep telling people to remember who they are, which is really a remembering of putting together all the members of yourself into this lifetime.
And there was a famous quote. I don't know who wrote it, but it said, remember who you are, then become who you are.
Good stuff. Anyway, we have to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience, and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at maria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Awaken with Maria and Monica, where the show goes wherever it goes. No, we will get back to the how to access your past lives. I have another, I have two more questions. One is from Laura. She didn't give me the year she's born, but she's born on December 12th. So she's a Sag, she said, with a Capricorn rising and an Aquarius moon. And here's her question. She says, what do you get on the new place I'm preparing to move to and energy surrounding my health? And then she's also...
she wants a reading, but not a past life reading.
Right. And she also wants to know about the health of her mom, who's older, and how she could be a better help for her. So first,
well,
I guess,
a couple
where
questions
to move.
So her birthday is December the 12th, right?
Right.
Okay. Oh, God, that's emotional. All right. But, you know, the thing about it is that you know, being there for her mom is appropriate because, you know, her first pinnacle is a 6, which has to do with family. And so she would be very caring about it. When you have somebody in your life who's got health issues and they're not understanding how to connect the dots that they created a lot of their stuff themselves, then what you have to do is, and you know, you have to include them in your affirmations, meditations, or prayers in the morning, but you only ask one time. So what you do is just, and this, I've done this many times, and it works every single time, and every time I teach it to people, it works for them too. So what she has to do is she has to envision her mother and tell and say, "Mom, you are healthy. You are healthy, Mom, and I see you completely whole and healed. And I ask that, the divine spirit, higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, enter your mind and give you new ideas, new concepts, and all about health. And you have to decide whether you want to be healthy and live a long life or not. That's on you. That's a free will call. But I would ask that the higher power or source or spirit give you the thoughts about health instead of talking about ill health.
Right.
And I would then do that in my morning meditation, but you only ask for it one time. The rest of the time you just say thank you to my higher power for healing my mom and giving her new ideas and concepts. And then if she speaks to her mom, tell her mom that it's fact, just like the angel that appeared to me about having perfect eyesight, that, you know, she told me that you can use that particular affirmation for any part of the body or anything that's going wrong and always identify with perfect health. Then the extraterrestrials came to me from Andromeda and said, always say to yourself, my entire being, mind, body, spirit, soul, thoughts, emotions are all reset to the default settings.
Mm-hmm.
Default settings meaning that they're back to perfection.
Right.
And so her mother may not understand that concept. I don't know what her age is, but I can tell you that if she tells her mother, start off, Mom, by saying, I'm no longer sick. Even my friend who had stage 4 cancer always said, she never acknowledged that she had cancer. She said, I'm having an experience with it, but I don't have it. It's just passing through my body. And she's been recovering now for 35 years.
That's great.
So, again, you have to align with the fact that the body's perfect, that it has experiences with things. Like people talk about that they're depressed. They go, no, you have an experience with depression, but you're not depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't hold on to it like that. Otherwise,
right.
The next thing.
Oh, you own it. Right.
Yeah, so that's how she can help her mother. First part of her question had to do with a move.
Right. She wanted to know what we get on the new place she's prepared to move to and the energy surrounding her health.
And the energy surrounding her health?
Right.
Well, she's wanting a full reading here.
I know. It's a lot. She did say if you have time to get them out. But what's interesting, before we get to that part, even though a question seemingly had nothing to do with a past life, when I'm looking at this, I see she and her mother have had at least 2 past lives that affect this one. One where they were actually lovers, and another one where they were children together. So she has a very unique connection to her mother. It's deeper than most people's connection to their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, she needs to just keep in mind, she and her mother are always going to be together, whether they're in the body, out of the body, next lifetime or whatnot. They're really, look to me like almost the same soul.
Oh, that's interesting. I received that they had multiple past lives together, and I didn't know the dynamics of how it was, but I can tell you that it is a very strong connection. But when I look at it, in terms of when they're between incarnations, they feel like they're almost sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they've had so many dynamics, but
right.
they feel like equal,
uh-huh.
like sisters.
Right. And,
I like that.
Right.
I like that because that means they have an eternal caring for one another.
Right. And, you know better than anybody. When somebody asks me about a move, I'm going to tell them the truth, Monica. But
yeah,
what I see here for your move is it's been a tough decision to make, and you're still doubting whether you made the right decision. And in honesty, I hope you didn't make a long-term lease because I see another move coming up. And that doesn't mean the initial move isn't going to be a bad one. I just see another move. So I
mm-hmm.
guess you're going to be on the move. And health-wise, whatever's going on with her health, I see a big improvement in about 6 months.
Yeah, I have a feeling that once she gets the move out of the way, that, you know, her health is going to improve itself because she's making herself sick right now. And so your timeline of 6 months feels right on the money. I mean, because I just got a, like, goosebumps on that, which is, as we know, called validation.
Right.
And, so I think that's right on, that's spot on. And so what is it now? May, June, July, August, September, October, so November. Yeah, that feels really right on the money. And I think that she's imposing a lot of stress on herself right now because, if you get wishy-washy or you don't make a decision that's firm and you stick with it and you don't feel good with it, that usually means it wasn't the right decision, which means that she would have to move again.
Right. But I always tell people, once you make a decision, stick by it.
Stick by it.
Because otherwise it's going to drive you even crazier.
Here's something else that just popped in my mind, that when you make a decision about anything, always listen to the first thing that you received and don't argue with it. Just do it, because that's the one that comes from the right brain or intuition. And for some reason, people go, but what if it doesn't work? What if it's the wrong one? What if I make a mistake? That's the left brain interfering with all that freaking noise. Listen to the first thing and take action, and you'll find that it works out every single time. But people tend to sabotage themselves by arguing, and that doesn't make any sense to me. The first one doesn't lie. It's instinctive, and it comes from the gut. So make decisions based on what you feel, not what you think.
Right.
When something feels right, it's right.
Oh, that's the truth of it. You know, when I left New York to come out to Arizona, Monica, I had been teaching spirituality and whatnot in New York. And I had this illusion, and believe me, it was an illusion, that I was coming to Arizona, I was going to find some big, you know, Indian chief that was going to teach me even more Native American spirituality, empower me even further. And I kept saying, Spirit, I'm going out there to learn. And the voice in my head said, no, you're going out there to teach. And I argued with it. I argued constantly with it. But after being out here about 3 weeks and seeing some of the New Age crap that was being taught in some bookstores and whatnot, I was teaching. So sometimes you have to listen to that inner voice, whether you like it or not. It was the same thing with my show. When Spirit said, you got to move the show from fun and happy times, which is what it used to be on the radio, to covering politics, I was like, oh God, no, anything but that. Okay, I mean, they had to drag me into it because I never wanted to do that. I didn't want to know, like a lot of people, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to get into that. But what am I doing for 20 years? You know what I mean? So sometimes you can't fight your own destiny because whether you like it or not, you set it up.
No kidding. No kidding, Maria. And that's why you're really good at it, because you paid attention. You know, even though you said no, you just did it anyway. And, you know, this is why you're successful in what you do. You're so damn good at it. No one else has a show like yours.
That's for sure.
I'm so proud of you. You know, again, when I first saw your face when I was in London, you know, at the People's Voice Studios, and I looked at David, I go, I need to meet her. He goes, well, just contact her. And I didn't think you were going to contact me back. I felt a little bit intimidated, and I thought, I don't feel intimidated by anybody, but this lady kind of intimidates me. But I thought, I'm going to reach out. And you responded, and I loved it, you know. And so that's how we started our friendship and just a few years ago. But that my feeling is that you're doing the right thing. You're right on target here. And it'll evolve later, because there's going to be some changes that's going to happen with the, you know, the next administration. And this guy's karma can't manifest fast enough for me. But I don't let myself watch the news. I just maybe get the headlines or whatever just to know. But it's easy to get sucked into that negativity, which I refuse to do.
Well, I don't let it affect me either. It affects me while I deliver the news. That's about as long as I let it stay in my space.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know how to do that. So what I tell them to do is get a map of the Milky Way with an arrow that points to the Earth. And it is so tiny, like a grain of sand, that what you do is you say, wait a minute, I'd rather connect to the Milky Way, which seems to be in synchronicity and perfect order and harmony, as opposed to this little teeny dot here where there's this collective consciousness that's negative. I'm going to disconnect from that and connect to all of this. So sometimes a visual like that really makes a big difference.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, when I'm not blocked on Facebook, I usually post a good little spiritual quote every day. But there are certain ones that I will post maybe once a week, just as a reminder to people of the reality. And that's what you just said. So I'm going to read it. I don't know who said this. It's just, you're a ghost driving a meat-coated skeleton made from stardust, riding a rock, hurtling through space, fear nothing.
Yes, I just read that one myself.
Are you me? You're too nice to be me.
Yeah, we're connected.
I know. You're too sweet. You're like the opposite, kind of like Michael Rakia. He's such a soft-spoken, opposite spiritual man. but we still get along great. But I'm like, oh God, I have such opposites as some of my co-hosts. Mm-hmm. I just love it. Because we've done shows in the past on dream work and so many other things, you know, I know we're off, we get in and out of topic, but I always believe the show goes where it's supposed to. One of my good students actually, and listened to the show, wrote out a dream he had. And the dream is so detailed that I always know when you have a dream that that's detailed and you remember every detail, that's a life-changing dream. That's a dream you need to pay attention to. And I'll try to give you, you know, the skinny on his dream. So it might be a little hard for you to get to keep up, but I think you'll get the general gist of it. Now, his name is Charles. His date of birth is April 6th, 1986.
Okay.
Now, in the dream, he's at a bus stop in his cousin's sushi restaurant. His restaurant is actually a bus stop in the dream. I think that's interesting. And it was like a muted color movie, almost black and white. He said he was holding his backpack and his cousin's backpack, waiting for the bus, sitting on stairs in this sushi restaurant. His brother, his cousin had to leave with his brother. He said, I told him I'd hold his bag and get it back to him. Just before the bus arrives, an older, fat, bald man sat next to me. And then he grabbed my cousin's bag and I yelled out, hey, that's my cousin's bag. Then a cop came over, opened the fat man's bag and found a wallet in it, which had all his cousin's information in it. The cop talked to him for a little while, wanted to know if he pressed charges, and then he noticed his bag was gone. So he had to call the cops again. So he said the cop let this man and woman go. They took all the restaurant's prepared food as evidence. I mean, this is such a great dream. And then he says they were loading containers into their patrol cars. And then the cop said, so he asked the cop, so there's nothing you can do? And the cop said, no. He said, well, I had $1,800 cash that I lost, but he was able to get his cousin's money back, which he was going to use to buy furniture. But he said, I probably should pay down my credit cards instead. And then he said his aunt was there the whole time with him.
Is the aunt deceased?
I don't know. He doesn't mention that. He says, I was only excusing the reason for having the cash. I wasn't going to buy it furniture with it, but having that much cash felt wrong. So he kind of lied to the cop. And then he said he grabbed his laptop, which just appeared out of thin air, and started logging into Capital One, I guess this bank, when his cousin arrived after listening to a voicemail he left him. He said, I told his cousin that all his stuff was safe, but mine was gone. And then I had to log on to my credit cards and cancel them. And that's when I woke up.
Okay. So, first of all, we know that a dream's not literal, obviously, because this one's filled with symbology. And everything represents us, including his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the dream is telling me is, A, number one, that when there feels like there's an apparent loss, actually there's somebody there to help us. So we have helpers. The helpers could be in the form of spirit guides. It could be family members that are deceased. And that's why I was wondering if his aunt was in spirit. And the fact that he is getting on a bus, I don't know if the bus was moving at all or not, or if it was just stationary the whole time, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because one of the things about vehicles is it also represents us. But if we're not behind the steering wheel, we're not in control of our lives. So therefore, we have things that start to go missing or things that we start to lose because we're not in the driver's seat. Now, the food has to do with nurturing ourselves, which means that's important for him to do is nurture himself more. And with respect to the amount of money, $1,800?
Right.
That's a nine. That means endings. And the endings means that it's time for him to end certain parts or aspects of his thought process or his, what he's thinking about, what he believes in order to be able to bring in new experiences. So he has to take control of his life is what it's telling me. Ultimately, that is what it means.
Right.
Yeah, I could break down even more of it that supports it. But
right. It would take about 5 hours for me to take this dream apart. And
so
that's
I'm
why I recognize. Right.
And getting right to the answer that he needs to let go of certain things that sabotage him, get behind the driver's seat and take over his life and be in control again.
Absolutely. I get that, you know, the way that he's identified himself up to this point in his life, because don't forget he's lost all his ID, his credit cards, etc.
That's right.
Is also changing. So he needs to look at how do you identify yourself.
That's correct. And he has the opportunity because it's a year of ending for him. So he has to look at all things, let them go, and install new ideas.
Well,
you uninstall old stuff and install new things. And therefore, that means setting new goals and living a life that's very different. He's got to change his MO. And I think that this is an opportunity more than anything else.
Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's not giving him bad news at all. It's giving him opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. You know, this past week, I've had two dreams. I don't think they were in a row, maybe every other night. But it's the first time I've had this type of dream where I would say it's, I want to say post-apocalyptic because that's what it felt like to me, but where I'm all alone on the world. I mean, just all alone, just walking down these beautiful grassy lanes and there's nobody else around. It wasn't like nuclear winter ugly post-apocalyptic, but I knew it was similar to that Will Smith movie, Legend. And there I was just walking around freely. You know, it was like summer because I wasn't wearing a sweater or anything. And all I saw was the beauty of nature.
That tells me that you see the beauty in everything and especially nature. You're very connected to nature. And so you choose to walk your path there as opposed to what the illusion is showing us on this planet. And that's how you find your balance.
Absolutely.
And so it's saying to you, this is what you're doing. Good job.
Well, no complaints there. I'm going to go talk. I talked to the trees. Listen, the other day I was driving up. We have a drive from Phoenix to where I live. It's about an hour, and you climb in the mountain the whole time. So you go from desert to forest in 1 hour. And I will tell you this. All the saguaro cactuses were in bloom. They all looked like they had Easter bonnets of flowers on their tops and on their arms. And it's almost, for me, it's almost distracting from the drive because I want to see every last one of them. I want to see every last blade. And I'm like, oh, God, look how beautiful. They're all in bloom. And I always say, thank you for giving me eyes to see this. I never take it for granted.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, okay, if I wasn't doing 80 miles an hour, I'd stop and take a picture. But maybe I can find one on Arizona highways that I can post. But to me, nature is everything. Their flowers tend to be white and yellow, and they actually look like they're wearing a bonnet. You know, I had a Native American friend who took the drive with me, and she told me that they were aliens, that they were alive, and that they communicate with each other. And
well, I believe that.
I certainly didn't doubt it because they're just magnificent, you know. And I look at, and I know so many people take that road and don't notice the beauty of that road. And I can't,
there's
never.
That's called a younger soul.
Right, but for me, there's never been a time I've driven it where I don't give thanks for having eyes in my head to see it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it.
You know, so yeah, you're dead on. Nature, and especially trees. I have like a sickness for trees that goes beyond reality for some people. I mean, when they
want... And remember, everybody, when you go up to a tree, you have to ask permission from it to hug it or to get near it and send it love from your heart because they are so used to it because they can't move. So when someone chops them down, they're getting hurt constantly. So they don't trust a lot of humans.
Right.
So if you give love to them and ask permission to approach them, they'll let you.
Look, if I see a dandelion coming through the concrete, I compliment it on its beauty. So,
oh, see, there you go.
That's just, look, I teach the medicine wheel. I mean, that's everything to me. It's why I do everything I do do.
Yeah, you do do?
I do do. Well, I guess in a past life, I was probably one of the creators of the trees because I have such a connection with them, and they always talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to show one more thing that a person can do to access their past lives.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We only have about two or three minutes, so let's get that
in. Okay, sounds good. All right, so what you want to do is you want to light some candles, like votive candles, but make sure that they're not facing your eyes. It's either behind you. You have to get a mirror like the size of a cosmetic mirror and make sure that the house is dark except for those two candles. I put my candles in front of that mirror so that I can't see it. I can just see the glow of light. then what you do is squint your eyes and look in the mirror and only look in your eyes. Only look in your eyes. And what happens is all of a sudden the mirror is going to start turning black or completely gone. You won't even see any of your face, but you'll be able to see your eyes for some reason. Then it lightens up again so you can see everything, but then your face is going to be different. Keep note of what it looked like. It could be an old man, an old woman, a young child, a male, female, and pay attention to the clothing or what it looks like. You might have a beard or not. So then what happens is keep staring into the mirror, keep looking at your eyes. It's going to get dark again, but the next time it gets bright again, you're going to see a different face. Now, what's happening here is your past lives and the way you look is going to be appearing to you. And the more you do this, the more it's going to come faster and faster and faster, and then either have a recorder there for you or take notes when you're done. The first time I would do it, maybe no more than 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you might start feeling energies of people around you. These are safe people. They're not anybody that's going to, it's a spirit that's not going to hurt you in any way. It could be family members around you. It could be your spirit guides around you, but you'll feel a presence standing behind you. Now, the thing about it is I just kind of overdid it when I did it myself, when I learned how to do it in the 70s. And I got to the point where I got so scared of what was going to appear every time I looked in the mirror that I refused to look in mirrors. Because I didn't want to see a different face. So right. Don't overdo it. Pace yourself. And then, you know, maybe get like two or three of them. And some of them are going to look like not human, but other like alien beings from different planets. Make sure you pay attention to those. They're not there to scare you. They're just letting you know that you were also incarnated in other galaxies.
And that reminds me of the whole of past lives in that excellent movie with Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks called Defending Your Life.
I love that movie.
I love it. And if any of you haven't seen it, absolutely watch it because, number one, it's a great, fun movie. But there's a lot of spiritual truth in that movie, too. And that's called Defending Your Life. Well, Monica, thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to doing this next month.
That's right.
We'll pick a topic. We'll let you guys know. And we'll field as many of your questions as we can. Thanks so much, doll. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, honey.
You too. Monica Sepulveda. Check her out at monica.com. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I'm sure you could tell the two of us enjoyed it. And I will see you guys again on Thursday when I'm back with one of my new listeners called The Freak Show, which is news of Planet of the Apes. Remember, don't get too attached to it because none of it's real, even though God knows it feels pretty real while we're here. Thanks again for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.